This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Good afternoon. You are tuned into 3CR here with your hosts, Zan and Koshin.
Hello.
Nice to see you and hear you again.
Good to be back.
We are starting the show with a track from Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan in collaboration with Michael Brook off the much acclaimed 1996 album Night Song. This is the track Lament. And Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan always needs a moment of appreciation when playing his music. He lived for 48 years and during that period put out over 125 albums during his career and has been a real icon for Pakistani music and Sufi devotional music known as Qawwali. And would thoroughly recommend checking out the rest of that album. It is absolutely stunning. And this brings us to the topic of today's show, which is discussing the current conflict in Pakistan and Afghanistan. We thought that we would give an overview of what's currently happening and from there go into a bit of history around the two regions of Pakistan and Afghanistan and the, I guess, imperial colonial influences that have been part of that picture, and then how that currently puts us today in terms of geopolitics. And we're going to do that all in 25 minutes max.
It's going to be good. It always comes back to those good old British borders that they drew up. They really did a great job making sure that everyone was going to fight forever. It really locked them in.
Which is the spoiler for this show is that a lot of what we're going to dive into today can be crudely summarized by shit that the British don't want to take responsibility for nowadays.
No, of course not. And if you're wondering why we're not talking about Iran, I have it on good authority. I've heard it from the President of the United States that that war is over. So we don't need to cover that. We can talk about this conflict, which is not getting much attention, despite having a lot of potential to really get quite big and to already be, you know, pretty big already. Pakistan's called it an open war. There's been some lulls, there's been some peaks and troughs, but it is definitely continuing. And despite mediation attempts, it doesn't seem like it's going to be stopping in the near future.
I do need to have a shout out to, well, if we're talking of mediation, Iran has recently offered to mediate between Pakistan and Afghanistan. And shout out to Iran for having capacity to potentially do such mediation when there is so much going on for it at the moment as well.
Yeah, I would, if I was giving friendly advice, I would say that I think Iran has enough on their plate and probably don't help yourself before you help others is the general advice. Yeah.
Speaking of friendly advice, we also have the text line going today. So please send us love.
Yeah, text us in your thoughts, what you're doing. Not if you're, pull over if you're driving to text. I legally have to say that.
So I want to reiterate the importance of talking about this conflict. I think it's something that has been quite deliberately forgotten in the media cycle. And I understand that we have very vested interests in the conflict in Iran, and there are things that may affect us, such as our petrol, or as we've seen articles about in, I think it was The Age, toast and holidays that will also be changing. But I think there is also the sense of this conflict being ignored in the media because of the responsibilities that colonial powers have over this conflict beginning in the first place, and this idea that once you withdraw from your occupation, from a place that you have, yeah, you can wash your hands clean. Mm. And it's really unsettling to see that happening. So hopefully in talking about it, we can raise some awareness and learn more.
Mm. Yeah, and for anyone who maybe completely missed the story, which I would say don't feel bad, I think it's really barely been in the news at all. On the 28th of February, the same day that Israel and the U.S. started striking Iran, Pakistan declared open war on the on Afghanistan, on the Taliban government, over what's been a long simmering tension and conflict on the border, mainly focused around the TTP, which is the Pakistani Taliban. Accusations back and forth about who is protecting or funding this group. Pakistan is adamant that the Afghan Taliban is harboring them in the Afghanistan side of the border and then allowing them to move into Pakistan where they conduct strikes. Afghanistan denies this, and that is basically a very quick summary of the current flashpoint on why they're fighting today. Yeah, it really focuses on that group, the TTP, which is the Pakistani Taliban.
And I think it's important to mention that the Taliban in Afghanistan and the TTP are separate organizations that have like organizational similarities, but they are definitely distinct. And so that's important to keep in our minds as we're talking about all the different groups.
Yeah, there's probably going to be mention of a lot of groups, and just keep in the back of your mind that they all hate each other. every single one of these groups are fighting with each other, more or less. There's occasionally they'll have a sort of a truce, but really, I mean, they all have overlapping claims. They all have disputes with each other. No matter how small the group, they will be in opposition to other groups.
Except for China, which is now the peace facilitator for multiple nations across the world.
Yeah, China's they're really trying to mediate all of them. And yeah, for their own reasons. And yeah, they're good at it. I mean, they mediated Saudi Arabia and Iran recently in the last couple of years. I mean, they seem to be good mediators.
So to dive into the conflict as it currently stands, I thought it'd be good to start with a very contentious line that is 2,640 kilometers long that partitions Afghanistan and Pakistan, and it is called the Durand Line, and it was kind of cut into indigenous lands in 1893 at the tail end of British occupation. And it's this line that in particular the Afghanistan government, which is the Taliban, have taken issue with. And so this line is really important because it is not one that takes note of a lot of indigenous nations or a lot of ethnic tribes such as the Pashtun area. And so its arbitrary drawing has been a source of current conflict for a very long time.
It's it marks the control of where the British Empire ended during the Great Game, where they considered the end of British influence and the beginning of Russian influence. It did not take into account any of the people on the ground. So yeah, it cuts through the Pashtun area, cuts through the Baluch area. It just divides those communities and groups, and those are communities and groups that still have relationships with each other across the border, and that is the beginning. That's what propagates so much of this separatist sentiment, is that these communities don't feel represented by either government. They want to be represented by their own, internally. It's just an old colonial line that they drew for geostrategic reasons over 100 years ago that then became the official border of Pakistan and Afghanistan. And yeah, Pakistan recognizes it. They have no reason not to. But Afghanistan definitely have issues with it.
And I think some of those issues also come from wanting more territory that is part of Pakistan today, and that being a dispute amongst them as well. But I think also this partitioning was, part of a very long and horrific era in Britain's role, not just in Afghanistan, but beforehand with the Indian Empire. And Britain had attempted to annex Afghanistan as far back as the 19th century in hope to protect the Indian Empire from Russia. And from that point, there was a series of wars, kind of British-Afghan wars from 1838 to 1921. And then I suppose the nation of Afghanistan as we know it today arose in 1921, and Britain withdrew from its kind of colonial occupation in India in 1947, which also resulted in the state of Pakistan as well.
Yeah, Pakistan and India were born, and then Pakistan and was East Pakistan or West Pakistan? Bangladesh was just the maps that they drew up. The British were never. I mean, they were like
should have their pen license taken away.
Yeah, it is just. None of them were good. They are all ridiculous. They all basically ensured that they would, and there was immediately a fight between Pakistan and India, and Pakistan and India still fighting, still have overlapping territorial claims, especially in the Kashmir region, which is where a lot of this takes place. The fighting with the TTP is in the north of Afghanistan, mainly focused on the Khyber Pakhtunkhwa province. I definitely didn't say that right. But that is where the TTP is mainly based and where most of the attacks are. So much of this really does go back to that colonial carve-up of and the withdrawal of the British from the British Raj and of Pakistan and India, which mirrors another withdrawal from Afghanistan by the US, which they basically just took the decision that if you can leave fast enough, you can wash your hands of any of the responsibility of what comes next, after taking on that responsibility when you initially occupied the region.
I think another element in this is also relationships and the changing relationships to the Soviet Union and communism, which I think has definitely changed over the years. I know when, I think early on around like 1953, the Republic of Afghanistan had very firm ties to the Soviet Union. And there's been, a lot of changes to this. In 1979, the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan to prop up the failing communist regime. And in response to that, in the 80s, the Mujahideen Rebels united against the Soviet Union. And also from that point, that fight also resulted in moments of solidarity between Afghanistan and Pakistan with, I think in 1982, there were almost 3 million Afghanis seeking asylum in Pakistan. And that border has often been, a place where both sides have let people seek asylum during conflict.
Mm. Yeah, it definitely hasn't been like a hard border in the same way that, I think we're getting used to borders being like the US-Mexico border, for example. Like, I think we're getting used to the idea of borders being incredibly hard, immovable things. But this is definitely a very porous border with a lot of movement back and forth that isn't you know, necessarily regulated. It's kind of, it's much more casual. People really travel back and forth, or have historically. And those, in this conflict now, we're seeing Pakistan expelling Afghan, the Afghan population back into Afghanistan, these refugees who are seeking asylum for various reasons. I mean, a lot of people probably fleeing Taliban rule, now being sent back into Taliban-controlled areas because of this, you know, larger conflict that they're not necessarily a party to or involved in, but they're being blamed for assisting the Pakistani Taliban and being put in harm's way, most likely, a lot of them.
And I think, yeah, the flip that this has had, I guess, in comparison to 2021 with the US is strange. I think then the accusation was that, well, the US said that the Taliban were using Pakistan as a safe haven for Afghani Taliban, and now that has flipped, and Islamabad is now saying that Pakistani militants are based in Afghanistan, and both sides are accusing, I guess, at different points of the other of harboring people in their nations as sanctuary.
Mm. Yeah, it's really a story of flipping loyalties. I mean, the US famously funded the Mujahideen in their fight against the Soviets, who then became the Taliban, who then the US didn't like and then went to war with. And, you know, it's kind of this constant flipping and back and forth of people assisting a group and then that group getting power and then the same person that assisted them saying, you know, now we're in conflict. It's a really interesting dance of back and forth of different alliances, and those alliances being broken down.
Mm. And the Mujahideen have received arms not just from the US but also from Britain and China via Pakistan from 1986. So it's definitely a conflict that has international support and facilitation, yet at the same time this kind of international silence.
Mm. We're just going to listen to a quick community service announcement, and we will be back and we'll be talking about all kinds of stuff. The Belt and Road Initiative. I know you've been waiting for us to talk about the Belt and Road Initiative, the BRI. We will in just a moment.
Have you heard about 3CR's national programs? Coming at you on community radio stations around Australia, produced in the studios of 3CR Melbourne.
Services will be cut, jobs may well be lost, and workers' entitlements will be undermined.
Their basic human rights are as important as everyone else.
Over 200 million years, individual species have evolved. I mean, birds were once dinosaurs.
Anything nasty online seems to be targeted against women.
Muckety is a bad deal, but muckety is absolutely not a done deal.
You're listening to Women on the Line.
Welcome again to Lost in Science.
And welcome to another edition of The Radioactive Show.
You've been listening to Earth Matters on the Community Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to Accent of Women.
Anarchist World This Week.
You are listening to Let the Bands Play.
Tune in to Stick Together, worker stories and union news.
Grassroots Voices broadcast weekly on the Community Radio Network.
Hello, we are back. You are listening to Uprise Radio with Koshin and Zan, and we're talking about the conflict in Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Did you actually have anything about the Belt and Road? Because if so, I really want to give space to that.
There is a Belt and Road angle to this. The Belt and Road Initiative is China's massive infrastructure project. It's a multinational infrastructure project designed to create larger international trade flow, and China has a huge stake in Pakistan with a massive highway. It's something like over $60 billion invested in building out this highway infrastructure through Pakistan that really makes it invests China in the future.
In the friendly
of
relations.
Yeah. And especially because that highway goes through the north, which is where a lot of this volatility is. They definitely invested in making sure that they have a stable trading partner in Pakistan. So that's part of China's motivation in mediating this is the Belt and Road Initiative and making sure that that goes off without a hitch or as few hitches as possible.
It's really strange to think about peace facilitation really just being about capitalism.
Yeah, it's you see it a lot. It's like an interesting, it's a dialectic, you could say. Text us in about dialectics.
Money is what's like going to keep us together.
Yeah.
I thought, yeah, we could focus a bit about on the international relations surrounding these two countries, because there's a lot of other key players that have relationships. There's, yeah, India, China, Russia, and Iran, and the US. I only have one thing to say about Trump in this episode, which is that Trump described Pakistan's current military leadership, Asim Munir, as his favorite field marshal, which I'm not entirely sure what that means, but it does scare me.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I never know what he's... I don't think he knows what he's saying anymore. It's really... it's all over the place. Pakistan does have a massive military, though. It's one of the largest standing armies in the world. And yeah, which, I mean, famously doesn't go very far when you're fighting. If you go into Afghanistan, it is basically impossible to hold, but it doesn't seem like that's the plan here. It does seem like Pakistan is just going to be lobbing bombs and not actually moving in very far. Yeah.
But and also that Afghanistan's military has a lot of force behind it from weapons left behind from the US.
Yeah, that's a really interesting part of this, is how much was left behind by the US and how so much of that has been reacquisitioned and made into, you know, usable equipment by the Afghan Taliban. Yeah, I mean, they left a lot of equipment back there, and now they've, yeah, it's all been put to use.
Yeah, and in terms of relationships changing, there's been a few interesting shifts. There's India has really condemned Pakistan, and China has been mediating seemingly on both sides. The Afghan Taliban met with China's foreign minister on the 4th of March to discuss diplomatic things.
Mm.
And I know that you mentioned prior to us going on air that China had also met...
Yeah, China, there was a report that apparently President Xi Jinping personally sent a message saying to stop fighting, basically, to Pakistan. So China seems to be trying to get involved in kind of bringing the conflict to an end. But yeah, I mean, there's been ceasefires over this exact problem. There was a ceasefire last year. This is a conflict that's been going on for a while, this TTP related conflict with Pakistan and Afghanistan. So it really needs to, there needs to be more than mediation in terms of a ceasefire. There needs to be a real conflict resolution to make sure that it doesn't just, you know, in 6 months that they don't just start fighting again.
Mm. And I think another changing thing is the, I guess, increasing relationship between Afghanistan and India, which has Pakistan right in the middle of it.
Mm.
And alongside that, also the US and India having closer relations as well. And then, I guess, last thing in the soup is Russia's relationship in this, who is the first and only government to formally recognize the Afghan Taliban government in 2025.
Mm. Yeah. It's and Pakistan also has a defense treaty with Saudi Arabia, who is currently involved in the conflict with Iran. And there's some, you know, that's a potential problem if, you know, a potential point of escalation if Saudi Arabia, you know, tries to cash in on that defense treaty and say, okay, formally, we'd like to say we're being attacked. Pakistan would be obliged to then go to war with Iran as well. Which would really open up this front. And, you know, that's a way that this could really escalate and turn into a wider war. And also that would be through the Baluch area, which we did not talk about a lot today, but the Baluch area with the Baluchistan separatists is a very interesting part of the world. The Baluchistan separatists, really interesting history. And really, I mean, yeah, it would be in the same way that this is kind of a multi-front fight with Afghanistan and the Pakistani Taliban and Pakistan fighting each other. If there was a war between Pakistan and Iran, the Balochistan separatists would be a third pole in that, and it would be a mess. It would be chaotic, to say the least.
And I'm going to say, if you want to learn more about the, I guess, the history of US presence in Afghanistan, Blowback is a podcast that has a lot of information that I feel like is not really represented in mainstream media. And I would really recommend, if you want to learn more, of giving that a listen.
Yeah, shout out to the Blowback podcast. Shout out Blowback. We're doing shout outs now.
We're going to end with a aptly titled song by Freddie McKay called In Times of Trouble.
See you all next time when we will discuss something good. Hopefully not, I don't know, US using tactical nukes or something really bad. Hopefully something really good.
I only said Trump once in this episode.
That's a new record. All right. We'll see you all next time.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Begging for no mercy.